the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Sunday of the forefathers of Christ. All of those righteous of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, kings, prophets, and all of the others. Those who struggled to live a life that was at least a life of repentance and the love of God. We Orthodox, of course, affirm that at the fall of mankind, we did not lose the ability, the capacity to be good and decent human beings. But to be good and decent, we must love God. And these were the God lovers of the Old Testament, the ancestors of Christ. Sometimes it seems as though it takes God a long time to do the things that he promised to do. Already at the fall of Adam, he promised that he would not abandon the creature that he had created. He was already doing what needed to be done in order to destroy the power of death and make it possible for human beings to return into life from him, with him, and in him. But it took all of those centuries, millennia, from the beginning, from the fall, down until the time of Christ. And during that time, if we read the pages of the Old Testament, we see that there are not that many in each generation who love God so much as to turn away from the world, and even those are tempted constantly by the things that drag us back into the world. Dorotheus of Gaza says that there are only a few things that drag us back into the world. The love of pleasure, vanity, and wanting to have more and more of something. Now we think of money because money will buy anything, but it may be on behalf of some other things of the world that we want, things that drag us back into the world. They have inspired human beings from the time of the fall down onto our own time. In each generation, how many are there who really love God more than the world? How many Abrahams are there who are willing to follow God in faithfulness? How many, like the prophets, are there who are willing to give up a life of ease and comfort and good reputation and risk everything to give the word of God to those most of whom are not going to welcome it and who will reject them? The tempestuous relationship that we see between the prophets and God, a closeness between them as those that God chooses struggle with their love of God and the fact that they live in a world that contradicts everything that their love of God is about. And so we see the struggle of the righteous of the Old Testament down to the time of Christ. Why does it take so long? Maybe because, as Jesus says in the parable, he is determined to fill his house. He is determined, no matter how many turn away from him, those that were chosen, that were prepared, the vast number of them found ways to deny the kind of oneness with God that God had in mind when he gave the Ten Commandments. They made them into rules instead of ways of turning back and repenting from their love of the world and trying to live the life of the kingdom that was already being described in the pages of the Old Testament. We heard this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the story, the narrative about Jesus going to have a feast in the home of one of the most important of the Pharisees. And we hear Pharisee and we think, oh, the bad guys, you know, but you have to remember that the Pharisees are the ones who were the most devout. Now, there are stories, of course, in the Gospel where the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, or some Pharisees, is pointed out, but also we know that it was from the ranks of the Pharisees that some of Jesus' most loyal and loving disciples came. For all we know, this may have been one of them. In that part of the gospel, the conversation between Jesus and his host is most interesting. At one point, he advises the Pharisee that, you know, it's better not to have a dinner and just invite those who are going to turn about and invite you later on. Next time, we'll have the dinner at my house. Or as we do with our relatives, we'll have this dinner this year at our house. And, well, we did that at your house last year, so next year we'll do it at somebody else's house. And Jesus is saying, don't just have dinners with your friends. Don't just invite those that can repay your generosity. Invite those who can't repay your generosity. And that reminds us of what God does with us. When he invites us to eat and drink of the life, because that's what we eat. We eat and drink in order to have life, you know. Not just for pleasure, you know. That was one of the things that takes us away from God, remember. We're so used to having plenty of everything that the idea of eating and drinking for life, we have to think about it. We have to remember, oh yeah, that's the reason. It isn't just because it tastes good. What shall I eat this time? It's all kind of boring. I'm tired of eating the same old thing. But when someone invites someone to their home to a dinner, they are sharing the stuff of life with them. And that's what God is doing with us. He invites us to eat and drink at his table for a great feast, a great festival, a great celebration. We are right now preparing to celebrate the birth of the King, the birth of the Son of God, the heir to the kingdom. We are preparing for that great celebration. The kinds of things that you ordinarily do in preparation for a celebration, getting the food ready, we don't have to worry about that. God is providing the food we are going to eat and drink at his table. But here, in this story of what happened when Jesus went to eat with the Pharisee, he tells the Pharisee the parable that we heard this morning. The man was going to have a great festival, and he invited all of those privileged guests. And in every case, they had some reason that they had to be somewhere else. And we know that Jesus is talking about eating and drinking at his table, eating and drinking in the table of the kingdom, partaking of the bread of life that really is life, the life that Adam and Eve turned away from. The fall was the result. The bread of life that all of those of the Old Testament, the majority, the vast majority, turned away from. And here, in this parable, this man is having the same problem. The vast majority turn away. Determined he is to have all the seats at his table filled, he sends his servants out and he says, bring people in. As many people as you can, wherever you can find them, bring them in. I am determined that the seats at my table are going to be filled. Maybe that's why it took so long for Christ to come after the fall of mankind. Maybe that's why it's taking so long for him to return. Maybe it takes all of these centuries in order for enough to turn to him. It's a sobering thought. Something to think about, especially when you consider that today we Orthodox Christians, we are the ones who have the whole story. We are the ones who have received all of the fullness of the teachings of the ancient Christian faith. We understand what our situation is in relationship to God. We haven't just received part of the story, because our ancestors lived off in the less developed area and only got part of the story, only were able to understand part of the story. The full Christian faith has been given to us, privileged guests. We understand that it is possible for us to cooperate with God. It is possible for us to live in harmony with God. Divinization is possible for us. We are not totally corrupt. We are capable of cooperating with God and moving toward the perfection of Christ Himself. Because God created us in such a way that we can't be fully human unless we live from His life. And yet, when we, who know all of these things, are invited to eat and drink at His table and move toward our perfection in Christ, we, like those in the parable, like those in the story, have other things that we're more concerned about. I have to take care of the things that need to be taken care of in the world. I'm sorry, I can't prepare and come to your dinner. And so we find ourselves in which group of people? Those who have been invited who refuse to come. Those who have been invited, but when we get there, as elsewhere in the Gospels, someone who came to the dinner, the master of the feast turns to him and says, "Where is your wedding garment?" And we think, well, they gathered them in from all over the place. They can't expect to have wedding garments. These are the people who had nothing in the world that enabled them to say, well, this is more important to me, I can't come. These are the people who are there at the table because they have nothing in the world. How can they possibly have anything more important to them than to eat and drink the life that comes from God Himself? The world has abandoned them. They haven't had the good things of the world. And yet, it still seems that even though when they come, they are not dressed for the wedding. And, of course, we're not thinking of the physical garments. We're thinking of the garments of the soul. If you are here to eat and drink at the table of God, if you are here to receive His divine life and move toward Him, then why are we not in the inside the way we seem to be on the outside? Dorotheus of Gaza says that we live our lives as two-faced people, one way on the outside. Here we are in the presence of God. Here we are. We come to the divine liturgy. We prepare ourselves. We are ready to receive the body and blood of Christ. But inside, what's going on there? We are willing to come and eat and drink at His table. Have we begun the transformation internally that we have to begin in order to be prepared to come to the wedding feast? That's the preparation that we need to do. And it is a preparation that we can do. Reaching out toward divinization, reaching out toward being like God, it is so high. Yes, not something that we can do ourselves, but we can reach. That's all we're asked to do. Repentance from love of the world first is simply a turning around and a reaching toward God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. And like the publican who went away justified from the temple because he was so humble he couldn't raise his face, God will bring us toward Him. But we have to have that love of Him. We have to have the desire to be transformed as God gradually erases all of the self-love and all of the preference for the pleasures of the world as we do our part and reach toward Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.